and a sacrifice to your family. If I'm successful, I have to be really ruthless and determined, you might think. No, you don't. You don't have to become Regina, Alexis, Cruella, Miranda, or any kind of rich bitch. You can still be you and be an awesome kind of rich woman. You just have to rewrite the script to suit your dreams for your life. You can choose to be rich and philanthropic, gracious and friendly, a great role model for women, a leader and mentor, inspiring to others, generous to people around you, a creator of amazing experiences, a world explorer, an angel investor. You can create scholarships with your money. You can build the most eco-friendly, technologically advanced house in the world. You can buy big chunks of the world's rainforest. You can explore the world. You can be an amazing role model for your kids, your family, and your community. You can change the world. You can choose to be like author J.K. Rowling, who gave so much of her money away that she dropped down from the Forbes billionaire list to a mere multimillionaire. What about Oprah Winfrey, who's created amazing things with her wealth? She created the Angel Network, which inspired philanthropic giving all around the world, and her school for young girls in South Africa. Nobody can dispute Oprah's legacy as one of the world's richest women. Hey, and it doesn't have to be all about giving away your money either. It's okay to keep it and use it for fun and pleasure. It's totally okay to live the most outrageously luxurious life you want. We're told that it's good to give and bad to spend money on ourselves, but it's up to you how you'd like to spend your money. You could fly around the world in your private jet to see Adele in concert. You could probably hire Adele to sing on your private jet just for you. You could have a private butler take care of your every whim in Zanzibar. I've experienced this myself and it's awesome. You could buy a $100,000 dress to wear to the Oscars and then auction it off. You could take off on a round-the-world cruise with other rich people or buy an island or meet up with your fellow lucky bees to see Bette Midler in Vegas. You might be thinking, oh, but Denise, that's so ostentatious, so greedy and way too decadent. Well, the point is, gorgeous, nobody can dictate to you what kind of rich person you're going to be. There are many shades of wealth. There are billionaires who dress like hobos, millionaires who drive 20-year-old cars, middle-class people who go on spectacular holidays, average people who have cleaners and private chefs, paupers who live like kings on credit cards, and everything in between. There's no rule that you have to be a rich bitch. Only you decide what kind of wealthy woman you become. Pablo Picasso said, "I'd like to live like a poor man with lots of money." I'm okay with being a real-life inspiration for other women, but you don't have to be like me either. I am just one example of a rich woman. It's up to you to design your first-class life. By the end of this book, you'll have a much clearer picture of what you want. For awesome rich girl inspiration, check out Beyoncé's social media. You'll see photos from her daily life in all its luxurious glory. Girlfriend is enjoying her wealth, and she was plenty rich enough before marrying Jay-Z. Or browse luxury travel or real estate sites, even ones that make you cringe. Sometimes I'll follow someone crazy and ostentatious to see what emotions it brings up for me so I can clear the triggers. I don't aspire to be a rich asshole, and it's not a good emotion to hate them or to begrudge them their wealth either. Role model other amazing wealthy women like Ellen DeGeneres, Sarah Blakely, the creator of Spanx, Martha Stewart, Sheryl Sandberg, Diane von Furstenberg, Anna Wintour, Tyra Banks, Gisele Bündchen. Read their autobiographies, or if you get the chance, see them speak. Find amazing philanthropists to model by reading Forbes annual rich lists. Your financial role model might be your grandma or a local female politician. She doesn't have to be a billionaire or a businesswoman. Instead, she could be someone who you really admire for her values and grace in the public eye, like Michelle Obama. Basically, follow in rich woman's footsteps and you'll feel good about being rich too. Turn your attention to great stories of wealthy women and men and ignore the negative ones about guilt of working mothers, lengthy court battles over wealth, nasty divorces and rich women acting just as greedy as the greediest man. Most of that stuff is a distraction that can make you feel fearful about wealth. Engaging in debates designed to fuel the mummy wars is just as destructive. Ignore it all. Come and join us in the Money Bootcamp and you'll see real women just like you upgrading their life every day. Just like you, every one of them has her own tastes and values around what's important to her. Or You might not know what you want yet. It can take practice to actually decide what you like rather than what you think a rich woman would spend money on. Inspire yourself by reading books about successful women, and you'll see how they overcame their own struggles with negative people, how they built up their own self-confidence, and how they made and spent their money. How can you learn the lessons from these celebs and not make the same mistakes? Don't worry or get depressed that you'll sabotage your wealth too, and therefore not even try to become wealthy. There are a lot of positive examples of awesome rich women with healthy relationships with money, and we'll cover them in this book. However, we'll also look at why we sabotage in this way and how we can give up those sabotaging behaviors to create a beneficial, abundant relationship with money, no matter how rich we get. You know that annoying quote that every personal development guru spouts? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Or as my husband Mark says, the definition of insanity is hearing the same quote over and over again. Well, in this case, it's true. It's ridiculous for anyone to expect their financial circumstances to change without changing the behavior that got them into that circumstance in the first place. And that's what we're going to work on together. You don't need to become famous to be wealthy, and I'm not going to ask you to rob a bank or do anything unethical either. That said, this first step, uncovering and then decluttering what's holding you back, can be tough for some people. In fact, I probably spend about 80% of my work with Money Bootcamp participants in this step, and it can be uncomfortable. That's why I'm so glad you bought this book. It's a great introduction to living a richer life and dealing with these very normal money blocks. However, it's just the start. Learning to become rich is a lifelong process, and it's one that will require you to ruthlessly declutter all the things in your life that don't serve you, mainly beliefs and self-sabotaging behaviors. You'll also need to constantly examine why you're acting the way you do. It's about giving up the victim mentality and accepting that only you are responsible or to blame. Are you willing to do what it takes? It's your time and you're ready for the next step. Chapter summary. Celebrities and rich people have money blocks just like you do. You can release the stereotypes of what rich women are in the world and create your own meaning of wealth. Choose your money role models carefully and ignore the bad ones. You can be any type of rich woman you like. Sabotaging behaviors are normal, but you do need to get honest about yours. And get my top 10 list of must-read money books for women in the bonus section at denisedt.com/rich. Chapter 4, Declutter Your Money Stories. Byron Katie said, taking responsibility for your beliefs and judgments gives you the power to change them. When I mentor my Money Bootcamp participants, we spend more than 80% of our time on decluttering old beliefs and cleaning up sabotaging money habits so we can figure out why we act the way we do. This part is just the uncomfortable crap you have to wade through before things can be easy. We've all got our own money dramas, and maybe some of the celebrity money stories from the last chapter hit a little too close to home. Have you identified your major money sabotages yet? Are you overgenerous, overspending to impress other people, mindlessly spending to make yourself feel good, spending out of guilt or obligation, saving other people from their financial dramas or problems, or giving away your power to other people in your life? If you've identified a few areas where you're sabotaging yourself, fantastic. The more self-aware you can be about your money behaviors, the better and the quicker you'll move to the next income level. Think of it as a game of snakes and ladders. When you engage in self-sabotaging behavior, you slide down the snake and go backwards. When you acknowledge and clear those beliefs, you get to climb the ladder and make fast progress. Like most things in your life, the way you handle money has a lot to do with your past experiences and what you've seen or learned growing up. This is true whether you grew up rich or poor. In fact, there's no correlation between your family wealth and how many money blocks you have. Anyone at any income level can be abundant or feel poor. Our perception is way stronger than the actual reality. But do you believe that you, with all your blocks, sabotages, and experiences, can be rich? Do you believe that you're just as deserving as anyone else? Imagine that you have your own personal river of abundance that can never run dry. It can flow to you all day and night with everything you need to live an amazing life. However, only a trickle of that abundance can ever get to you if the river is blocked. Think of your negative beliefs around money as massive boulders and imagine each negative money memory you have blocking up that flow even more. If you're downstream of the river, you can only see a tiny trickle coming to you. So you think that's all the abundance there is, not realizing what's in the way. But that trickle represents such a small amount of what's available to you. And the only way to access it is to remove those self-imposed barriers by identifying and destroying them forever. Luckily, the tools you'll learn in this book will help you dissolve even the biggest obstacles. Trust me, I've seen it all and I've heard every story. Nothing is so bad that it can't be released. You might believe that your income stems only from your actual situation right now, how smart you are, how hard you work, etc. But honestly, it's most likely that your past experiences with money influence your income more than anything you're doing today. These stories formed your money beliefs, and your beliefs influence how you make decisions in your life and business today. And they also underpin most of your sabotages. You might have had a childhood where money was really tight. So you've got these funny but kind of sad stories about your cheap-ass dad or the Christmas where you got the most awful present ever. Maybe that's why you now overspend for your own friends and family in an effort to exercise those yucky, embarrassing memories. Or maybe you had rich parents who spent money like crazy. Maybe you had a rich uncle who paid for everything, or a friend who was really poor and made you feel guilty for having money. Either way, you unconsciously push away money now, even as an adult, by making bad financial decisions in an effort not to be the rich bitch. Your past experiences have shaped who you are today, and they might be holding you back from becoming your best and wealthiest self. When you do radical emotional decluttering on those past money experiences, though, you can start with a new, fresh perspective on money and allow your natural abundance to flow. Emotional decluttering is a non-negotiable process if you want to be rich. Even if you've done it before, try it again with a specific money focus because there's always more to uncover. In the world of manifesting, negative emotion is really the only thing that holds you back. You can try and skip this step, but it's like building a beautiful mansion on top of a trash heap. That gorgeous home will topple over at the slightest hint of bad weather, and it will probably have an underlying stench the whole time, so you'll never enjoy it even while it's standing. You have to excavate and build a strong foundation first if you want your mansion to last. Look to your past for clues. If you want to earn more money, you must release any negative energy you have around it, no matter how small. You have to be willing to look at any memories from your past that have an attachment to money, especially events where you felt angry, sad, embarrassed, or humiliated. Find any memories of old arguments or resentments over money, or anything that might possibly explain why you act the way you do now with your money. Go through your life chronologically. Start from your earliest memory around money and work your way up. Trust me, this exercise will change your life because you'll see how clearly those memories influence your income today. The first time I did this exercise, I wrote 5 pages worth of stuff that I still felt angry about. There were bosses from years back who didn't give me a pay increase, those bastards, anger towards a family member for a cheap, crappy present, and my stepdad and his strict rules around pocket money. Some of that stuff was years old, but on some level, I was still thinking about it. You can bet that decluttering it all gave me permission to rapidly increase my income. The only way I could even make that first $225 was that I started decluttering my money memories. But I didn't want to get stuck at that income level, so I kept going and I kept forgiving, and I still do it. You'll uncover new memories all the time as you grow your income. And you know what? When I tried to replicate that original list a couple of months later to see if there was anything left, most of it was gone. I had let it go. I was over it and I was free of it forever. Holding on to the energy of money drama is incredibly subtle but dangerously destructive. You might not think you even have any money drama left over from your life. Well, you'd be surprised. Most women have at least a few major incidents around money that affect them as adults today. So what do you remember about money? You could have all sorts of money memories that affect the way you think about money as an adult. For example, you might have felt angry when someone stole money from you in the sixth grade. Maybe it embarrassed and humiliated you, and the feeling of shame and helplessness still lives inside you. So you don't entrust people with your ideas and never ask for help in case somebody steals your success. Or you could have stolen money from someone else, and that memory makes you squirm because you're still carrying the guilt and shame of the thief tag. You might not even think about it every day, but trust me, it's still there. It makes you feel guilty for no reason and makes you feel overly responsible for mistakes that simply aren't your fault. Maybe you felt poor when you had to wear an old suit to a job interview. You remember vividly how it felt to hold yourself in a certain way so a stain or a rip didn't show. It made you feel inferior to all those well-dressed people around you. That version of yourself still lives inside you sometimes. And that leftover whiff of inferiority holds you back from being rich because you still have an us versus them perception of rich people. Maybe you were embarrassed for a friend because she was short of cash at university and it was excruciating every time the restaurant check came. Your compassion and empathy for her actually cause you to feel emotions for her, and that is still living inside you. Embarrassment is such a powerful emotion when it comes to money. You could be embarrassed that you're rich or embarrassed that you're poor, and it doesn't always have to be about being broke. You could be embarrassed that your parents were wealthy and therefore you didn't really earn your success. Helen Gurley Brown said, "Money, if it does not bring you happiness, will at least help you be miserable in comfort." Think about your career. Were you ever unfairly denied a pay increase? Does it still hurt when you think about the injustice of it? Maybe you found out that you were paid less than a coworker and it seriously pissed you off, but you couldn't say anything. I would lay awake at night rehashing old conversations with my old boss and get so angry years later. The rehashing isn't good for your blood pressure, and it's not good for your money manifesting either. It's unnecessary mental clutter, and you could use that energy to create something amazing in your business or life. What about your relationships? Remember, any money situations that relate to your boyfriend, girlfriend, partner, or ex-partners, you could get some juicy memories around them. And trust me, those memories are still living with you and affecting your income today. One memory that came up for me was about a boyfriend I had at university. He was a real tightwad. He would order all this expensive food in restaurants, and then he'd be really cheap when it came to the check. We went out to dinner with my mother, and he said to her, "You had the prawn, so you should pay more." And this was the first time they met. Who wants their daughter to be married to someone like that? I had another boyfriend who always spent all his money on cigarettes but expected me to buy him lunch and even help him with rent, even though I was a student and super broke. And I did it too. So both of these memories went on my money clearing list, because you can bet that they both brought up feelings around being worth spending money on. The things that you remember might be small and you might not see the connection at first glance, but don't take any chances. If you still remember something with any kind of emotion, it's something you should clear. Remember, throw everything at it. If you want to get good at manifesting, you have to stretch yourself to see the connections. It's the equivalent of playing your scales to master the piano. Clearing these little memories adds up to mastery of yourself and responsibility for your thoughts. You can go on adding to your money forgiveness list as much as you want. Anyone and anything related to money that still gives you an emotional charge should go on it. Doesn't matter how small or large the memory, you're doing a deep clean and leaving nothing to chance. Creating this list could take you anything from 10 minutes to hours and hours. As you go through this book and you remember new things, I encourage you to keep adding them to your money forgiveness list. It's not something you do once and then forget about it. I still add situations and memories to my list. My income is different, so I see some of the memories through new eyes, but they still give me hugely valuable insights. Forgive and set yourself free. Okay, so you have your list. Even if it's just a few memories long at first, the hard part is almost over because most people put off actually writing their list in the first place. I applaud your bravery and commitment to your own personal development. There's no need to burn the list or do any weird voodoo rituals. Just clear it through energetic forgiveness. I bang on about forgiveness all day long for one simple reason. It works miracles in all areas of our life and it allows the money to flow naturally. So here's what you do. You go through each item on your list one at a time. Take time to think about that incident and what it meant to you. Let any residual emotion come up. And then just say the forgiveness mantra. I forgive you. Thank you. I'm sorry. And I love you. This is based on Ho'oponopono, the gentle Hawaiian practice of reconciliation and forgiveness. You can say the four elements of this mantra in any order that feels good to you. I had someone tell me I was doing it wrong because she taught another order. Seriously though, you can't screw this up. As long as your intention is to release and declutter the memory, it's so simple. Note though, don't think that because this exercise is simple, it's not going to work. It's incredibly powerful stuff and it will change your life for the better. Emma Poynton, a photographer from Adelaide, shared this in my boot camp. I started my forgiveness exercise this morning. It made me feel physically sick while doing it, but afterwards I felt lighter. I think that the process will have to be rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. There's lots to clear, forgive, and release to the universe. It's normal to feel sick, resistant, and even headachy after this exercise. Some people definitely have that reaction. But it's worth continuing so you can clear the memories and make way for more money. Those memories are better out than in. Now you might say, I'm not going to forgive that asshole. Are you serious? Okay, it's your choice. All I can share with you is the complete transformation that thousands of lucky bees have experienced purely through the power of forgiveness. Money mantra, the more I forgive, the more money I earn because I allow myself to receive. Make forgiveness a regular part of your life. Parisa, a yoga teacher in Vancouver, told me, sometimes I do forgiveness in the shower, so I feel like the ickiness has been washed down the plug hole. Just like brushing your teeth and washing your hair, forgiveness can make you feel squeaky clean every day and worthy every day. When you feel worthy, you can attract money easily. So keep going over the items on your forgiveness list until they have no emotional charge anymore. Some things will be gone. You'll forget them forever. They'll just be lifted out of your heart and soul to make room for other, lighter emotions. Some memories will stay with you and take longer to shift. I told you I was going to be straight with you. Here's the honest truth. You'll probably have to do the forgiveness process again and again, and probably for the rest of your life. It doesn't mean you spend your whole life doing it. It just means that every time you hit a new money block, you go back to forgiveness. The process is that powerful. Be more persistent than your ego, which wants to believe that you're right in being pissed off. Your ego wants to hold the grudge. But do you want to be right or rich? Are you ready to let go and forgive? Forgiveness is one of those things that people always try and skip because it just seems like either too much hard work or totally unnecessary. Like, Denise, I'm reading this book for wealth strategies, not this airy-fairy crap. Forgiveness is like childbirth. You can't bargain your way out of it if you want to get through labor. My mom told me that she totally forgot the pain of childbirth until she was having my brother. And at that point, she remembered how painful it was and kept trying to bargain with the midwives. She was like, no, I don't want to have a baby today. I have changed my mind. And the midwives just said, sorry, it's happening whether you like it or not. Forgiveness is usually scarier before you do it, but the end result is so worthwhile. Without it, you can't move forward. Still, it's completely normal to think, no, it's going to hurt. It's going to be messy and ugly. I don't want to do it. Don't make me, Denise. So while it might be painful to do this exercise and there might be some tears, it really is worth doing. Seriously, I can't emphasize this enough. Plus, in addition to strengthening your manifesting muscle, forgiveness and emotional clearing will leave you lighter and happier and open the flow of your river of abundance even more. Give up the guilt. At various stages throughout your energetic journey to more money, you might come across one of the most common feelings women suffer, guilt. You might feel guilty for wanting more, for spending money on yourself, or for taking time out of your busy family life to work on improving yourself. You might feel guilty that other people are poor, that your friend is jealous, that there are starving people in the world. Many women on my money bootcamp start to feel guilty that it's suddenly really easy to make money. I definitely had the guilt when I increased my prices to well beyond what my colleagues were charging and more than my friends or family earned. We women are guilt-ridden creatures, and the answer to this, again, lies in forgiveness work. No one can make you feel guilty without your consent. One of the questions I'm most commonly asked is, how do I stop feeling guilty when I'm in debt? I often hear comments like, I don't deserve to spend money. But people who say that don't usually do things that are free to make themselves feel good either, like using their best china or perfume. So their guilt doesn't go away with more money. In my experience, guilt is mostly a female thing. Many successful male entrepreneurs of all types, at extremes that run from ruthless capitalists to generous philanthropists, have gone to the brink financially many times. They've gambled on their business success with credit card debt and huge bank loans, and then let their various businesses go bankrupt if they weren't successful. These guys have passed littered with the carcasses of forgotten or failed business ventures. That's business, you'll hear these types of men say. It's not personal. I don't think it affects their self-esteem in any way or their capacity to grow more wealth. Well, for us women, it is personal. And I bet you've got some failures from your past that you're ashamed of too. Most women would rather die of shame than go bankrupt and not pay their suppliers. Most women see past business failure less as a valuable business experience and more as a personal failure. They think, I'm obviously not good at business. I see lots of women quit over a perfectly normal rite of passage, like their first hater or a less than spectacular first launch. Anne Wilson Schaaf says, what we perceive as failure may simply be our inner being's way of telling us that we're ready to move to a new level of growth. Forgive yourself for past business failures. You tried your best and it was only practice for the next thing. It's a journey. So in the spirit of come at it from all angles, I listed every single business failure I've had, from the embarrassing, having a dismal multi-level marketing business, to the ill-conceived, my raw bride's business in my late 20s where I helped women lose weight for their wedding with raw food, despite hating weddings and not being a health expert, and even my little business ventures as a kid. I figured that if any of those failures still followed me around in any way, it wouldn't hurt to release them in order to make way for new and profitable business ideas. So I forgave them all. Take it one step further. Forgive your old business partners and forgive the company, suppliers, customers and agencies you worked with. And while you're at it, forgive the taxation department, the bankers, the government, the economy and the president or prime minister. You might think that's going overboard, but it can't hurt. Thich Nhat Hanh said, letting go gives us freedom and freedom is the only condition for happiness. The beautiful thing with doing this multi-layered work around forgiveness is that it eliminates any feelings of guilt and unworthiness in your future businesses. That could repel customers and opportunities. When you forgive yourself and others, it gives you permission to do more, have more, and be more in your life without sabotaging it all through guilt or unworthiness. Think of all the celebrity examples in the previous chapter. Imagine if they'd released all their old money stories and allowed themselves to enjoy their success. Even if you failed in the past, you can give yourself permission to earn money easily now. I remember really early on in my relationship with Mark, I had this big guilt trip around buying new clothes. I would only shop at secondhand stores, and while there's nothing inherently wrong with that, it didn't make me feel in alignment with wealth. I didn't believe that I deserved to have the exact size, color, shape, and perfect fit that you can only find in brand new clothes. I believed deep down that I only deserved to have cast-offs and I had to settle for what other people had thrown away. I remember walking the street with Mark past the shop window and he would say, oh, don't even look, because we were so broke. He would put his hands over my eyes and literally drag me away from the store window. I let that happen because he was just mirroring my thoughts around myself, which were, you don't deserve to go in the store and try on the clothes or even look at them. You're not worth it. Mark had his own issues around money at that time as well, so we worked on this together. And I said to him, buddy, what are you doing? I'm just looking and dream building. You're making me feel shit about what I deserve. You're being complicit in my negative money mindset, and I'm ready to let it go. Of course, then I forgave him and myself, and I looked at memories of my childhood to clear anywhere where I felt unworthy of brand new clothes or guilty for asking my mom to buy me something she couldn't afford. And there were plenty of those. Step by step, I let myself go into stores to look closer. And then I gave myself permission to actually try on some new clothes. I gradually started to buy myself new things, but it was a process that didn't happen overnight. It took me years to stop shopping in secondhand stores as I cleared and forgave old memories and beliefs. I was in a thrift store recently, and while looking around, I started to notice that I felt uncomfortable. I didn't really enjoy being in there because of all those old feelings of unworthiness were coming back. I just wanted to go into a store where I could say, this is my size and I want it in red, black and blue, and then just buy it if I liked it. And again, this is a lifelong process. For example, even though I literally am rich these days, an interesting memory surfaced recently. I said to Mark, oh, let's not buy that beach umbrella from there. It's really expensive. And his response blew my mind. He said, Denise, it's really not an expensive store, but I bet it was when you were a little kid. And holy crap, he was right. It was a store that my mother would never buy things from, and she always tried to get us cheap imitations of the stuff that we really wanted. I hadn't really cleared that, so I still perceived the store as out of my price range. Fascinating, right? I recently stepped it up a notch, and I bought an expensive dress that was a little out of my comfort zone in an area of the department store that I normally would have avoided as being too expensive. So yes, I'm still working on my own money blocks all the time. But I seriously walk my talk, girlfriend, and there's always more to uncover. I'm always trying to increase my capacity for wealth a little bit at a time because I still have bigger money goals. Sometimes when I'm shopping, I have to stop myself automatically going to the sale rack. Instead, I have to actually allow myself to try on clothes based on what I like rather than what I think I can afford. You know when you look at the price tag before you really look at the dress to see if you like it? I'm breaking myself of that habit all the time. Now, please note, I would never suggest living beyond your means to pretend to be rich or putting material doodads on your credit card to act as if. You have to start where you are and just upgrade incrementally to the next step. If you always shop at Target, you're not going to buy your next outfit at Prada. It will feel energetically wrong and it might not even be your taste anyway, so you'll find a way to sabotage it somehow. Just choose the next step up. That way you won't freak out your ego. It takes time to truly and permanently increase your standards and also to discover your true tastes when money isn't the only factor. And that's not to say there's something wrong with buying secondhand clothes or shopping at Target. It's always about how it makes you feel. If you love the thrill of seeking out and finding hidden treasures in vintage shops or secondhand stores, then absolutely keep doing it. If it makes you feel great to wear those beautiful vintage clothes, then go ahead. For me, it wasn't about wearing the clothes. It was about how the thrift shops made me feel, like I wasn't worth spending the extra money on to buy new clothes. But if you love it, by all means, continue doing it. Remember Carrie Bradshaw in Sex and the City? She said, I like my money where I can see it, hanging in my closet. Now, it sucks, but it's true that women often feel more guilty than men. You'll rarely hear a man say, oh, I feel so guilty, I just had a piece of cake. We women, on the other hand, feel guilty about wanting things for ourselves instead of sacrificing our own needs for someone else. We feel guilty about wanting big dreams for our lives. We feel guilty about earning fabulous money. I definitely felt guilty when I started my business because it started to become really easy to make money doing what I loved. I still mostly work at home in my yoga clothes and sometimes even in my pajamas. They're just nicer yoga clothes and pajamas than I used to own. I started this way when I earned my first $225 and it really hasn't changed today. I've deliberately created a really chilled and relaxed lifestyle. Sometimes I'll work really long hours and sometimes I'll just go off and see a movie. I have a nanny to help with childcare and laundry, a weekly house cleaner and a meal delivery service. I'm not trying to be a superwoman, so I don't feel like I have to do everything myself. People have said to me, oh, you're so naughty to go to the movies in the middle of the day, or wow, you're so lucky you have help. When they do, I try and ignore that initial feeling of guilt and instead make myself say, no, this is how I've designed my life. It didn't happen by accident and nobody gave me permission to do it. I'm self-employed because that's how I want to live my life. I want to be able to go to the movies on a Tuesday afternoon if I want to, and I'm not interested in cleaning my own house. Part of getting to live this way has been giving up the guilt of other people's opinions about what I should and shouldn't do with my money. Decluttering your old memories really helps with this. And Elizabeth Taylor once said, money is the best deodorant. My friend and mastermind buddy, Leonie Dawson, works just a couple of hours a day on her business and has a multi-million dollar turnover. When she gave up the expectation that she'd do what other people thought she should do, her business thrived. And she taught me her secret mantra. Are you ready for it? It's fuck 'em. That's her secret mantra. Her philosophy is to be happy. And if other people criticize her for that, it's their problem. She also taught me how to delegate to my assistant, to not answer all my own emails, and to create some strong boundaries for my life. But I had to forgive myself for wanting all of that because I felt like a total diva bitch. I had to declutter memories of my family telling me, you can't always get things your own way, Denise. As well as forgiving past business failures, forgive yourself for how you've handled money in the past, whether it's guilt from getting into debt or from wasting money on a bad investment. When I was 20, I discovered this amazing thing called interest-free credit. I literally had no idea how it worked. Do you see the need for basic financial literacy classes in schools? All I knew is that my friend went into this electronic store, answered a few questions, and walked out with a brand new laptop. Awesomeness. So I went back with three friends to get some of this free laptop action. There was no way I should have been approved for a loan on my student income. So when the salesman was filling out the application, he said, let's just say that your boyfriend pays your rent. And I was like, sweet, a new laptop and an imaginary boyfriend? 20 minutes later, I walked out with a brand new laptop that I couldn't afford. Well, you know how this goes. Once the interest-free part finishes, you always end up paying a ridiculous extra amount each month. Then I moved overseas and failed to make the payments, giving myself a terrible credit score. My mother had to pay off that loan, and the worst part was that the laptop got stolen a year later. What a huge screw up. So later on, when I was starting my business, I was still punishing myself with a crappy, slow Acer laptop because I didn't feel like I could be trusted with a brand new Apple. I was still unconsciously punishing myself for that old mistake. And I could tell you many stupid stories around my own money mistakes, but I'm sure you have a few of your own, right? Maybe even more than a few. These experiences from our past give us a framework through which we view our capacity to earn and keep money today. But by constantly doing forgiveness work on those memories and by examining your past experiences in handling money, you can clear those feelings of unworthiness. And when you do, you'll give yourself permission to earn more. Release family money drama. For some people, forgiveness work can be both a long process and a very intense time that opens up their eyes to the deep underlying issue they have around money. It can start to feel insurmountable. So if that's the case for you, just do one forgiveness mantra. I forgive you, thank you, I'm sorry, and I love you. Just do it one at a time. It's only going to be ugly for a short time as you're starting to clear out all the crap. It will never be as intense as the first time you do it. In fact, the intensity of the forgiveness work surprised one of my boot camp ladies, Victoria. She came from a comfortable middle-class background, but when her family's business failed, they were forced to follow Victoria's family across the country in pursuit of money. So, from an early age, she learnt that money stresses people out and causes fights. Her mum would tell her, don't tell your father whenever she spent money and would encourage her to lie about how much things cost. Who shares that memory too? I know I do. I also know that lots of women lie regularly to their husbands about how much they spent, even when it's their own money, even when they are the breadwinners. Old family stories stick around, and do you want your own daughters to repeat this behaviour? Victoria also married a man who had his own issues with money. Her husband always said that he never wanted to feel like he didn't have enough money because those times were so traumatic for him as a kid. Because of that, she kept all of the finance matters hidden from him so he'd never know when they were down to their last cent. Instead, she carried the burden of their financial pressures on her own shoulders. She was stressed and her husband stayed blissfully unaware, which of course meant that she resented him for it. By doing her forgiveness work, Victoria realized that it's not her husband's fault that she kept everything from him. That's just what she'd seen her own mother do. She was really forgiving herself and her mother for the past. And then after doing the forgiveness work, another client, Natasha, said, "It just felt really good. Also, it reminded me that I'm human and it's okay not to be perfect. What this exercise has shown me that maybe I'm not so good with money, but there are 150 things that my mother told me when I was growing up that have led me to having this particular attitude around money. As long as I can identify those things and understand where they come from, then I can start working through them and letting them go." And it's not even your parents' fault. They learnt their money beliefs from their parents who learnt them from theirs and so on. Your mother learnt to lie about prices from her mother. But you can break the cycle for yourself and your future family. When Francesca, another boot camper, was young, her father passed away and her stepdad's behaviour caused her mother to go bankrupt. Francesca was switched on to the fact that this negative emotional experience could have an impact on both her own marriage and the way she dealt with her money as an adult. She did some forgiveness work around her experience in an effort to move away from the fear that her husband would cause her financial and emotional distress. She said, "I've done a lot of healing around this and now feel comfortable with having nice things and not worrying about the money too much, except for being responsible and paying my bills." However, some aspects of that experience still linger in her mind. She said, "My husband doesn't know that I have this secret savings account with money in it. I've always had this fear that I would end up making a lot of money and I would end up with a dodgy husband like my stepdad who would take all of it." Although Francesca was halfway there with her healing around this experience, she still had to go one step further. She had to forgive herself for her present actions so she could have a healthy adult relationship with her husband and their finances. Hiding money from your partner through fear brings up some uncomfortable truths you might need to face. What are you afraid of? Why is this behavior happening? Is this something that you saw your own parents do? If so, clear it so it doesn't become your reality. When forgiveness isn't enough. So you can try different treatments or techniques to help you break the pattern and release energy. I've done acupuncture, energy work, kinesiology, EFT, i.e. tapping, access consciousness, Byron Katie's The Work, Brandon Bay's The Journey, meditation, landmark education, yoga, whatever. Remember, it all works at some level. So try different things to see what resonates with you and your belief system. There's nothing out there that's better than anything else, and you really don't need fixing. You just need help clearing and decluttering old emotions. Try something and see. Don't get caught up in the method or trying to be perfect. As long as the message behind the methodology you choose comes back to self-love and acceptance, you'll heal yourself from the past. Avoid anything that will just add to your self-blame and shame, though. Gentle self-love beats self-punishment any day. Dr. Emoto's famous book, The Hidden Messages in Water, is a fascinating example about how self-love can transform. He did experiments on vials of water by putting messages on them and thinking deliberate thoughts towards them. One vial label read, "I hate you, I'm going to kill myself, I'm going to kill you." Other bottles had positive messages like, "I love you." Researchers analyzed the water under microscopes to see if the different messages had different effects, and the results at a molecular level were astounding. The crystalline structures of the water with the negative messages were distorted, ugly, and irregular. The water with their beautiful, calming, and self-accepting messages had structures that were symmetrical, beautiful, and harmonious. This was at a microscopic level, but it was clear to see. And again, I have no idea how that works, but holy crap, we consider ourselves so much more alive than water. So imagine what it does to our bodies when we give ourselves messages of self-hate and run our low-level programs of negative thoughts or resentment. At a cellular level, we're creating negativity, lack, and distortion. This is why the forgiveness exercises are so important. They have the power to change you at that cellular level where you love and accept yourself no matter what. When you do that, you can accept wealth in your life because you believe you deserve abundance at all levels. Iyanla Vazant says, everything we experience, no matter how unpleasant, comes into our lives to teach us something. Tammy Guest, one of my boot campers and close friends, is a naturopath, and she used Dr. Emoto's examples to label her own herbal remedies. Instead of using words like headache and infertility on her bottles, she created special labels infused with good intentions of I'm well and I'm having a baby. She also tests her clients' blood before and after working with them, and she can literally see the effects that positive changes, including diet, exercise, meditation, positivity, and belief have on their cells. It all contributes to an overall picture of wellness. Seriously, you might be thinking, what has this got to do with money? The answer is everything. Money is just a symbol for your life. It's a symbol of how well you treat yourself. Imagine that your income is exactly proportional to your level of self-love. What does your current income say about that? What would it say about your ability to love yourself unconditionally? When I see women setting and then failing to hit financial goals, I know it's got nothing to do with money and everything to do with healing and forgiveness. So please don't be stubborn about it. Just freaking do what you need to do to heal yourself. Book your session with the energy healer. Get some therapy. See the doctor. Do that EFT course. Join my money bootcamp, etc. Whatever you decide to try, pay the money and give yourself the gift of healing. Even if you don't feel anything is really wrong, go deeper and see what else you can uncover. Heal your past lives. Now, I'm not the most woo-woo person in the world, and trust me, I'm an extremely practical Virgo. However, in my quest to throw everything at it, I've also had an energetic clearing session with a past life expert. Jenny Hobby, an energetic healer, said my poverty mentality came from at least 144 generations of my family, and she helped me to clear it. Just thinking about how my money blocks could have come from my mother, from her mother, from her mother's mother, and so on, was incredibly powerful. Did we really clear them? Who cares? It felt good, and it was a huge reminder to me about the impact I'll have on future generations. I also had a past life session with Melissa Kitto of Communicate with Angels, who told me a fascinating story about one of my past lives. I was a Japanese artist and sculptor hundreds of years ago who refused to sell my art to the English, who were then coming to Japan in greater numbers. I was stubborn, wanting to be a purist and to sell only to local people and fighting for the ideal of Japanese art for Japanese people. This decision sabotaged my business to the point of bankruptcy and ultimately caused a lot of shame for my family. Now, whether or not you believe in past lives, and I don't know whether I do either, that story provided a really clear message for me in my present life. It was an allegory to being stubborn to the point of not allowing my talents to shine for the greater good. I could relate to that story so I could forgive myself for past sabotages. Norman Vincent Peale said, people become really quite remarkable when they start believing that they can do things. Woo-woo stuff can be great for clearing old beliefs. Every meeting with an alternative therapy healer can be useful to reveal information about the habits that you need to change. Even at a recent acupuncture appointment, my practitioner asked me to tell him when the pain became too much. Straight away, I steeled myself. I was going to withstand more pain than anyone else in his clinic. He was going to be so impressed. And I caught myself in that moment, and it became valuable information about my stubbornness. When I told him about my awareness, he said, Denise, this isn't a test. The treatment doesn't have to be painful to be effective. And I thought that was profound. Healing doesn't have to be painful. It's just a tool so you can balance out what's not working and become more of yourself. And from a money point of view, when you give yourself permission to be perfect the way you are, you can truly become rich, both materially and spiritually. When you accept and clear all of those old money memories, you will honestly experience a shift in your abundance that will astound you. No matter how crappy your childhood and no matter how many times you've been cheated or ill-treated, it doesn't have to be your reality anymore. You can transform hate and resentment into love and empathy. My guess is that you'll feel peaceful, happier, more productive, and more able to take action on your dreams. And that is true wealth. Chapter summary. Forgiveness is the tool to release you from the past and allow you to be rich. No money memory is too big or too small to clear, and everything is symbolic. Throw everything at it. Something will work and free you from those negative self-beliefs around money. So make sure you register for the book's bonus section at denisedt.com/rich. Chapter 5. What do you really want? RuPaul says, all sins are forgiven once you start making a lot of money. So can I ask you a personal question? We're friends now, so you can tell me. I won't laugh at your answer, be shocked, or think you're too big for your boots. The Lucky Bear community is an extremely safe place to share and even brag about money. So here's the question. How much do you want to earn next year? That question might be easy for you, but it also might make you want to put down this book and head to the fridge. When most women are pressed, they can pull a big number out of their butts. However, I usually find that that number is way too small or it's crazily unrealistic. I've met women who have only earned a couple of $1,000s in their business whose very next goal is a million. I've also worked with women who just hope to earn the same amount of money as last year and can't imagine they could earn any more. Whatever's true for you, you're in the right place. This whole book is about getting you comfortable with earning more money, no matter what your starting point is. It's also about being comfortable with talking about money and shouting out loud to the universe about exactly what you want in your life, no matter how simple or outrageous it is. So that's why I asked about your income goal. You've got to get comfortable talking about it. You can't have goal shame and still expect to manifest your goal easily. And I hear this all the time. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you. Don't be embarrassed. It's just a goal. It's not a literal translation of your worth as a human being. Spoiler alert, you're priceless. But it's time to get really clear with the universe on what you'd like to earn so it knows exactly what to deliver to you. And yes, you actually can put a price tag on that. No mixed messages and no goal shame. Something happened when my first daughter was little that made me realize why women might be scared to set goals. It was my mother's birthday and my 2-year-old was helping to blow out the candles. We asked my mother what she'd wish for and she said, "Oh, I can't tell you, it won't come true." And then I noticed that Cinderella says the same thing at the start of the Cinderella movie. I was like, oh, wow, did we really learn that from such a young age that you can't say your dreams out loud because it will jinx them, that you have to hold it all deep inside just in case? Mind blown. And I quickly said, no, in our house we talk about dreams all the time, so tell us what you wish for. It has more chance of coming true if you share it. Think about how many times you heard that as a child, not only at your own birthday party, but at other people's too, or when you wished upon the first star of the night. It's no wonder that goal setting and talking about our goals goes against the grain of what we believe. The simple everyday exercise that will change your life. This book is all about breaking old habits and beliefs, and step 2 of the money manifesting formula is all about learning to proudly state what you want. Write down your goals. The simplest way to manifest your goals is to write them down every day. That includes your goal for exactly how much you want to make. It's a simple way to keep your goals top of mind, and the universe will start to rearrange itself for you when it knows exactly what you want. Now, many books, articles, and studies have been written on the power of goal setting. So listen to me and just do it, okay? And by the way, I say this to my husband all the time. You know I'm right, so let's just pretend that we went through the resistance. Now just do what I tell you to do. Yes, it's a dream being married to me. Thanks for asking. Writing out your goals every day would be awesome. Every other day, we'll still create amazing things, and even just doing them once a week or month will put you so far ahead of the game, it's not funny. Most people don't even write down their New Year's resolutions. The act of writing your goals is important because it's a declaration that gets them out of your head and onto the paper. Plus, the intention behind writing them down actually requires you to think about what you want. Making that decision is the first step. And I know it can sound really freaking obvious and it might not be this huge revelation. It's like, Denise, write down your goals. That's your genius advice. I want my money back. But hey, listen, I live and breathe this stuff and I don't always remember to write down my goals every day. When I do though, my money manifesting goes through the roof. Hearing it and agreeing that it's important is one thing. Actually doing something about it makes all the difference. It's almost 10 p.m. as I write this chapter and I've yet to write down my goals today. So I just took 2 minutes to write them down. Simple. You don't have to write them down perfectly every time. Just doodle them on a piece of paper. They don't have to be perfectly laminated either. They can change daily if you want, but the process of writing them regularly means that your most important goal will be revealed because you'll write them constantly. You'll probably start forgetting to write down your unimportant goals over time. And if so, don't worry about them. Don't be a perfectionist about this or write and ask me to clarify exactly what I do. It doesn't matter. Write them in a pretty notebook. Scrawl them on a beer mat. Doodle them in your shower steam. It does not matter. Nor does it really matter how you write them. You could do them in the present tense. For example, I now have a successful business. Or you could write in the past tense as if it's already done. My business last year turned over 6 figures. You could even write it in gratitude form. I'm so grateful for my new $3,000 business idea. Don't worry about the how. Just do it. Goal setting stimulates the part of your brain called the reticular activating system. This has two basic tasks. It controls mental alertness and also functions as a filter to recognize the most important information at any one time. You can train your brain to choose what's important through regular and consistent goal setting. This will help you to recognize opportunities because it conditions you to actually see them. It's like when you decide you want a particular model of new car and then you see that model everywhere. Are there suddenly more of your dream cars on the road, or are you just training your brain to see them? When you know exactly what you're working towards, you'll start to take more action towards achieving your goals because you'll train yourself over time to believe in them. Your belief fuels your action. Many coincidences and synchronicities will occur and you'll start to see the how take care of itself. And then people will call you a lucky bitch. Deepak Chopra says, don't simply dismiss a coincidence and let it drift away. Life is totally interconnected. These unusual things are simply connections that surprise you because you aren't used to seeing life except in fragments. Now it's beginning to piece itself together. I once heard that the difference between a millionaire and a billionaire is that the billionaire writes their goals down twice a day instead of once. That quote lit a fire under my butt. So just take 2 minutes now and write down some goals. They don't have to be perfect. Just do it. Remember Denise Austin, the 1980s fitness guru? Her slogan was, do it every day. Do it with Denise. And that's what I want you to remember. Goal setting needs to be an everyday thing if you want to manifest like a mofo. It's easy and free. Do it with Denise. That's why you should always have your money tracking sheet to hand, either as a printed document or open on your computer at all times. It will constantly remind you of your money goals and how you're working towards them each and every day. Now, your free Lucky Bitch money tracking sheets have also got space for your monthly goals and your current affirmation around money, but you have to fill them out to make the magic work. Don't forget to download yours from the bonus section at denisedt.com/rich. When I was in my 20s, my goal was to be a millionaire by 30, which had a nice ring to it. And I know the reason I didn't hit that goal is I had massive unresolved lessons to learn. They meant that my 20s were less about money making and more about forgiveness, clearing, and decluttering my emotions, fears, and self-worth. So my new goal became being a millionaire by 35. One of my mentors, Ali Brown, was a millionaire by that age, so it seemed